The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Run home, 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 run
home. Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Roberts, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
You can call me Al.
Brian.
Call me Al. All right. But guys...
No Joel's allowed again.
Yeah, Joe, what the... Come on, dude.
Yeah. We should tell people up front, Christopher Lloyd visited us and told us that Joe only had 6 months left to live.
Wow, that's a little too dark.
A little dark, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, I didn't need a Dorito to tell me not to say that.
No, Joe is not dead. He's just on assignment.
Joe is not dead. He's right in the movie you're talking about. All right.
I have no idea what's going on.
So, anyway, Joe, we hope you join us next week, whether the movie sucks or not. But anyway,
whose role is it?
Mine? In the meantime, it's yours. In the meantime, guys, it could happen. You
Nick
gotta believe.
Every time.
Care to explain that?
If you don't get it, I can't explain it to you. It was a McDonald's commercial.
It could happen.
Hey, it could happen.
But it's also the tagline to Angels in the Outfield from 1994.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I'm pretty sure the McDonald's campaign was happening, like, the same time this movie came out.
Maybe.
Probably.
It was like a mid-90s.
It was the era where you had to believe.
In the 90s.
In the 90s. Otherwise, we would not have made it through it, though. For better or for worse. This movie is directed by William Deere, who we, of course, know very well on this podcast for bringing us Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as well as If Looks Could Kill, Wild America, and The Perfect Game.
Wait, that's Richard Grieco, right?
If Looks Could Kill?
Oh, was that one of the Coreys? Oh, no, that's License to...
What?
Something.
License to Drive.
None of them have made on the podcast, have they?
Not yet.
I don't think they're even on the list.
Wow.
Well, I Corey? Mean, obviously the Coreys. No, because we did Gremlins.
That's true.
That's
he
right.
was in Gremlins.
Yeah.
And he was probably in Monster Squad, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
He was in Spirit.
No, he was in Spirit, yes. But I do believe Lost Boys is on the list, so.
Yeah, how have we done that other vampire movie, the name of which I can't remember.
Modern Vampire?
Yeah. That one. How have we done Modern Vampires? We haven't done The Lost.
Because it's a classic, and everyone should see it.
And because we roll for our movies, so shit can happen.
Yeah, I need to have a word with D20 of Fate, by the way.
Rob,
I'll have it next week. Rob, after I roll, yes.
You gotta believe.
It can happen.
Mickler!
All right, so...
Every time.
Angels in the Outfield, what's your history with the movie? Rob, go.
I saw a commercial for this movie a couple of times, probably, back in the 90s. That was about it.
How is that possible? Brian, go.
I saw this movie a bunch of times as a kid in the 90s when I was still playing sports and, like, into sports movies and stuff. But the 90s was really heavy on baseball movies.
Yeah.
It was, like, at least 10 of them, and I watched every last one of them. Fuck, I was all about it.
You are the rookie of the year, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Let me explain this to you. When this movie came out, I was like in my mid-teens, didn't care about Disney, didn't care about Angels, didn't care about baseball. Not really on my radar, this movie.
I dare to argue I am more on the camp of didn't care about any of those factors, and yet I know we saw this several times.
See everything. You will watch anything for any reason and then complain about it.
Speaking of, do you think Heimdall watches people fuck?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
That's creepy, but like...
And why do you think his eyes are that color?
He sees everything, right? Like,
wait a minute. Brian, you do that all the time.
What?
So, I mean, like...
Why is he making himself a Heimdall costume so he can do it in peace? I feel like it's part
it
of my
in
character.
Peace in his home all the
it's
time.
But he can say it's part of his character. Anyway, all right, so yeah, we...
Angels in the Outfield, creepers in the stands.
Yo, he says, we're watching.
They're always
watching.
I know what he said. Yeah. And I know what he had on his Christopher Lloyd face.
And that wasn't always mustard on that guy's shirt.
Like he's one disposable Kodak camera away from a public apology.
Getting Jeffrey Jones over here. All right, so what's in the box? History of this movie here.
It's my kid porn.
It is, of course, a remake of a 1951 film with the same name.
I had no idea.
Yeah. It was very different, ultimately, because, like, you know, still angels helping people play baseball.
But it wasn't a kid's movie.
Was not a kid's movie. I mean, nothing back then really was.
Right.
But this movie did also get two direct-to-DVD sequels. Yeah.
What?
One of them with Christopher Lloyd, and one of them so bad even he was like, no.
Is that the one where...
They're no Doritos. They're no Doritos.
The one where Natasha Harding wishes to angels. Christopher Lloyd comes in and smashes Nancy Kerrigan's legs.
Yes. Yes, most people don't know that I, Tonya was a sequel to Angels in the Outfield.
Wow.
Oh, God. So at the time of this movie's release, the Angels had never won a pennant or the World Series. The real life Angels did eventually win the World Series in 2002. Yay for them. There's the other championship for Anaheim went, of course, to the Mighty Ducks.
Of course.
Both teams at one point owned by Disney.
The Mighty Ducks were actually weren't they decent?
Yeah, they were for a little while.
Since Disney made them in a lab.
Yes, they are actually part duck. Is one of two films to come out in 1994 featuring the Chicago White Sox as the villains. Because apparently just everyone hated the White Sox, yeah. I guess.
Don't they still do?
Probably.
I'm kidding. I don't know anything about baseball.
And you know what? Forget. That's enough. So how much do you think this movie cost to make, guys?
This movie?
$22 million.
I'm going to go with my original 20.
30.
Okay.
Yeah. Some places were claiming around 25, but 25 to 30 seems to be the average, I guess, somewhere in there. Anyone want to guess at how much it cost, or how much it made? I'm sorry. How much it made?
I'm not.
Two DVDs afterwards?
Two DVD sequels.
Wow.
I can't help but feel that this but was
Disney,
like.
So take that into account.
I feel like this was a popular on home video movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say $60
million. $45 million.
It was $50 million.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That was a good guessing. Well done.
Yeah, because you were right. Like, Disney would put anything on DVD. Like, fuck
it. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we'll sell whatever to kids. Like.
I do believe there's two sequels to Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, you know what? You know what they did with that money?
Pocketed it.
Bought Marvel and Fox and probably DC next year.
This costs us a dollar to make? Sure. Yo.
We're coming for your ass, Microsoft.
That's frightening, but probably true. All right, where'd that money go, guys? Who's in this cast, Brian?
So we get Danny Glover coming back to the podcast as George Knox. We get Brenda Fricker as Maggie. We got Tony Danza as Mel Clark. Chris Lloyd's coming back again as Al the Angel.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Roger. And Milton Davis Jr. as JP. There are other names too, but they don't really fucking matter.
Was Christopher Lloyd in anything that we did other than Roger Rabbit?
Yes. Food Fight.
Oh.
Yep.
Does that count? I know he doesn't count it.
Yeah, it's debatable. He didn't even claim that shit on his taxes.
He used it to buy a new toilet for his bathroom, and he can't, like, if you put a gun to him, he couldn't tell you where he got the money for that toilet.
I don't know. He might have used that toilet to throw up in a few times afterwards.
Yeah, it took a forget-me-now.
And how. So... Take this and love yourself again, Christopher. So, this movie.
Yeah.
Let's get into this. Indeed. Let's talk about this. We start out with a Windows screensaver, for lack of a better term.
I think it was just our copy was bad.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Yeah.
The resolution on our copy was like 720. You know, on the DVD that we rented.
Probably 488.
The text said it was 720. But
the specs on the box say, Rob.
And it said 720.
Yeah.
So 669 aspect ratio.
Yeah, that's it.
So we open with a South Park paper goods cutout of a ball floating over some clouds for a while. It just kind of bounces around. It's bad looking.
No, it's terrible.
It's really bad looking. I mean, it can't be blamed on the resolution. Like, you can clearly tell that ball was added in a rush.
Yeah. And the sky just didn't look right for some reason. I don't know if it was just because it was in fast forward or whatever. You know, it was all sped up. But it looked so terrible. But then, of course, we see Joseph Gordon-Levitt and, Roger and JP are biking around the stadium, as they like to do, going on about some business of being foster kids and whatever.
You know, has Anaheim always been a shithole?
Yes.
I mean,
because they made it a point to show, like,
I've only
abandoned
been,
buildings.
I think once.
Wild dogs. Broken glass, Jesse's with no pumps. Like,
it is pretty much Fallout New Vegas.
I also like that, like, every house is apparently that one house from Beastmaster that's up on those high stilts.
Like I said, Fallout New, they're in there looking for bobbleheads. Coke bottles and stuff.
Yeah, like...
Gotta find our bottle caps. Yeah, it just looked grimy. But they get back to the house, and speaking of grimy, we find out that Roger's father is there. Who is a greaser from the 1950s.
He looks like if the Fonz and Zach Morris banged out a baby.
That's terrible. Like, that, it's true. Like, that really is, like, it's pretty on point.
It's like if the Fonz had intercourse with the 90s.
Yo, because Zach Morris is trash. Which is, yes. Look that up if you haven't seen that before. It's hilarious. Yo.
Like the character, you mean?
No, there's a YouTube thing called Zach Morris is Trash, where they break down every episode.
Yeah. But I mean, you're not saying Mark Paul Gosselaar is a terrible human being. That's hard to.
Zach Morris is trash.
I was gonna add if the two of them banged in an old filthy dumpster somewhere
in a 90s Waffle House. Yeah,
that works too. And a Spencer's gift threw up on them.
Yeah.
This guy's a real shit heel, and he's like, "Listen, I know I said I was supposed to come back for you, but no, your mom's dead, and I'm not into that dad thing. So I'm gonna go looking for a job."
What we learned. We learn that the kid's mother's dead. We learn the dad said he was going to come get him, but instead he's going up north.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that the dad had a truck that could hold, you know, stuff and, like, you know, probably a family.
A child.
He sold that for a motorcycle.
Right.
It's nothing but himself on it. Then he says, "Deuces, kid," and rolls the fuck off. I'm like, holy shit.
It's better for travel as he goes up north. Like, where? Yeah, like...
Uh-huh.
Until it starts raining or snowing, you jackass.
I mean, it's California. Up north is a whole lot of...
That could be. I have a feeling, though, he's going over the border.
No, he's going squatching.
Squatching.
Squatching up in the Washington Forest, man.
Is he training to be a tactical Sasquatch?
No. He's training to be the ball washer of a tactical Sasquatch.
Oh, yipe.
Right. As he's driving away, he's like...
I'm really waiting to do a kindergarten cop so we can make a Sasquatch shirt or surround my kids.
Sorry. I'm not making it.
Kindergarten squash.
Yeah. He's driving off. He's like, "By the way, your name is Robin."
"I never loved you." So the kid's all distraught, and he's dealing with his other little shitty brother. Miguel, was it?
Yeah.
He's just a suck. I don't even know.
Yeah, but he's going to grow up to be Spider-Man 2099.
Why is that? Okay.
Yeah, he's adopted by the O'Hara family, and he's like, "I'm Hispanic, but I have an Irish last name for no reason." And before anyone writes to us, I'm fully aware of the background of Spider-Man 2099. I know his father was Irish, and his mother was Hispanic, so you can put your emails down now. Thank you.
All right, so put your tweets away. So this kid just, you know, he's feeling shitty. So he decides to pray to the Almighty Mouse. Because, it's in the scene where we see the star line, shall we call it? Which
we are in California. We actually see the sky, which is, first of all,
Not true.
I would more likely believe that angels are helping out a baseball team than that you can see stars anywhere in California outside of the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Especially since, as we were watching this, I felt this looked more akin to if they just decided to trick the kids into thinking it's night so they go to sleep. So they spray painted the window black, but some of them got scratched away over the years.
Yeah.
So they're stars.
Well, the dog's trying to break in and eat them.
Yeah.
You know, those teeth make little marks that look like
exactly.
stars.
Exactly. But yeah, apparently in this horrible dog tooth scratch star line, we get a hidden Mickey. So this kid prays to the Almighty Mouse.
Hidden Mickey in there?
Yeah.
I missed it.
They slipped you a Mickey, didn't you know it?
Disney likes to do that.
Well, that's why. All
right. Isn't that right, Pixar? Anyway,
so about that, who?
Yeah.
Well, because the dad says, the kid's like, yo, is there any chance that we could be a family again? And dad's like, where I'm sitting, maybe the angels will win the pennant.
Giving this kid false hope. But
dude, you don't even have the courage to just say no.
Like, I'm never coming back, kid. So, anyway, the next day, apparently it's just...
Well, the kid wishes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he wishes that the angels win the pennant so he could have a family.
He prays.
Yeah.
Sorry,
he ends it with amen. That's a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else in it was a wish.
Wish, prayer, whatever. All the same to me. But, so... Well, next day,
but yeah,
what?
I don't know.
Fight! I'm sorry.
Speaking of a fight, we're trying to get to one here.
Yeah. So next day is, of course, ship the random children around town to the game day or something. I don't know. A bus comes and takes everybody to the baseball game. They get in for free somehow. Whatever. They're watching the game.
Dead Parents Day. They got to know technicality. Only one of his parents is dead, but still.
That's enough to get him in.
That's it.
All those other kids on the bus also had to... never mind. It's a Disney movie. Yes. Okay.
It was either the baseball game or going to see the Flying Graysons. They chose this one probably for the better.
Well,
that show does not end well.
Every night.
Every night. We're going to need another Timmy.
Anyway, they're at the game. They're just, you know, watching, have a grand old time when all of a sudden he sees some, he says winged people in sparkly pajamas, I think is how he describes them.
Sure.
I think he just starts tripping balls, basically. He looks up at the clouds, they're all going swirly.
I think you jumped ahead a couple games.
You did.
Did I?
Because our first game sets up how terrible the team is.
Yeah.
Because the fight breaks out between the manager and the pitcher.
Sure.
They don't win that game.
Oh, that's the one they watch from the tree, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
dialing it back, yeah. Danny Glover is the manager of the California Angels, and he is a hothead. So when things don't go his way, he starts fights with the umps and with the managers of the other team.
No, with his own pitcher.
And yes, with everybody. He's just
To the point where like the other bench clears and the manager's like, "Why? Not a fight." And they stop and they're like, "Oh yeah, you're right." And go back to the bench.
Yeah, so the California Angels are kicking their own asses, essentially.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there like, wow, even a fight couldn't make baseball interesting to watch.
Well, also, to be fair, this isn't a real fight. Like, they just kind of grab each other's shoulders and start rolling around on the ground.
That's
baseball fights.
Yeah. It's also how you make a baby.
That I believe. So, anyway.
But, yeah, so once we established that the team's garbage, the kids were able to go to the next game. And that's where, like, they're able to see the fucking, whatchamacallit, in the outfield.
Angels?
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, the whatchamacallit.
Disney's favorite classic, the whatchamacallit in the outfield.
Yeah, they're sitting out in the bleachers. The little Roger's like, man, something needs to happen. And someone hits a fly ball, and Matthew McConaughey's character is trying to catch it. And it clearly is, like, not anywhere near him. And he jumps. And all of a sudden, the sky kind of opens up, and these two bright lights fly down and turn into these things with wings and halos. But the kid doesn't know what to call him.
And a freaking dragon comes down.
One of these lights lands next to him and goes, "Hey, listen."
Well, almost. They pick up what was his name?
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey's character. They pick him up where the wire work, you can see the wire work.
White bass.
Literally is holding him up. Like it's awkward as fuck.
It's so silly looking.
and he catches the ball. And they're like, oh, shit, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's a miracle.
He actually flew. How did he do that? Nobody's going to look into it any further than that.
But only Roger saw him. No one else saw him.
Yes. That's when Christopher Lloyd shows up being a super
gross.
Weirdo.
He's being gross and weird.
Yeah. He's like, hey, son. Only you can see me.
Yeah.
How well can you keep a secret?
pretty much is it.
Like, why would you pick Christopher Lloyd?
He's fun.
Doc Brown.
He's goofy. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got crazy eyes, though.
Like, it's 94. Isn't that Back to the Future 3? Like, crazy train car Doc Brown?
Yeah, well, when did Roger Rabbit come out?
Wasn't it 80-something?
I think so.
Yeah, it was like 89 or something. Yeah, 88, 89?
I don't remember.
So we had already done, like, this is like Judge Doom.
Point is, Christopher Lloyd was riding high on the hog, and Disney was all up in that. So
the thing is, like, they're not even showing him as an angel. Like, he's just there.
Yeah.
With, like, ghost powers.
Yeah.
So he's, like, just a specter of doom.
He is, including... At one point, he's talking about how nobody can see him, but he swipes this one dude's hat and just puts it on and, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
But like, so do they just see a hat floating in the middle of the air?
So, okay. Like, so these guys catch this ball magically, Matthew McConaughey, and so they win the game, right?
No, they win the game from the big fat guy hitting the pitch and blowing the bat apart.
Well, that's right. Okay. But these guys, like, even though they're so not used to winning anything, they don't... Like, their celebration seems half-assed to me. They don't seem that excited. It look like the looks on their faces are like the look of, hey, you just filled out your Subway club card. Here's your free sandwich.
I think to them that's about all it is. They're like, hey, we
first off, went on a fuck fluke. You, because when I fill out my Subway club card sandwich, I'm happy as fuck.
Are you, though?
I am. That's a whole other sandwich that I'll get to eat because I ate some of the other sandwiches.
Until the diarrhea. Well,
correction, not Subway, Quiznos.
Right, I'm saying, like, if you had, like, a nice toasty sub, yeah. We love the sub.
We love the subs.
If you had one of those, sure, I could totally get it. But, like, I'm talking, like, the Subway in a Walmart, like, that has, like, soggy bread, and they didn't even put anything on it yet.
But, like, all right, so after the game, they do a drawing to get pictures with the team, and JP wins. He gives it to Roger because he don't like strangers.
Yes. that line he delivered was so genuine. I felt connected to that kid for a second.
He's like, here, you take it. I don't like strangers.
And his face just... His face just drops. Like, not a child actor, just his face just plummets to the ground. Like, his soul, you could see it crying.
He's the only one in here, and I don't mean his character, I do mean the actor, was told about Stranger Danger, and he knows what's about to happen here.
He saw that Smart Guy episode.
Yeah. When some weird guy tries to get me to do photos with him after the game, it's bad news.
Which means it's probably not the first time it's happened.
Probably not.
He might be a smart guy.
He may be. He's got a shady past. We'll say that.
So.
So at this picture taking thing, the manager guy, he pretty much is like, I hate kids. Hurry the fuck up.
Yep.
To the point they even say, like, this looks like a prison photo. Yeah.
Now, at this point, had Lloyd already, or Al, already given Robin the rules?
No.
Or is that the next time?
It's the next time.
Because he already breaks all the rules in the first encounter.
2 minutes, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because, like, now, Roger's like the angels helped you guys win. You know, it's because you gotta believe the angels helped. Like, I saw them. They picked him up and they held his bat and like,
I'm too old for this shit.
He should have said it.
Like, he really should have.
He should have said
it. I mean, he could have said crap.
This is right in between all those movies too. Like, he still had like two more to make after this.
Look, you have that perfectly timed like door slam or something. Just like, I'm getting too old for this, and just close the door in his face.
He's looking at the script and he's going, I'm sitting on another bomb, but this time no one's here to save me.
Oh, man. I totally forgot he was on toilet for a good portion of the movie. Yep.
And yet, he still seemed to be more energetic and lively than he does in this.
Thankfully, Mac and Dennis will come redeem him.
Oh, man. Blackface. Like,
Did you hear about the story about when Caitlin Olsen was, she was in the blackface for that thing and she hurt herself? They had to take her to the hospital.
No. Where,
yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I guess like in one of the scenes, she puts her leg through like the floor or something. And like she actually gets her leg cut.
Oh,
she
man.
Had to go get stitches from blackface.
Sorry, folks.
Right, so
fantastic.
So like the manager's like, fuck you kids, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
he was like, no, really, check the tape. Ask around. I'm for reals, y'all.
He's like, I will, but still, fuck you kids.
Yeah.
I hate kids.
I'll do that, but still, fuck you. What, you got one parent? Get out of here.
Half a parent.
See, when you have none, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we'll talk.
When no one will come looking for you, then we can have a conversation.
Well, that's what Christopher Lloyd said.
But anyway.
So he does his little research.
Yeah.
He starts asking around, and all the players are like, yeah, it felt like something was holding me.
Yeah, it felt like there was some unnatural force take going on or whatever. Away. Fat guy just thinks it's a hot dog. But
yeah, do you want to, I mean.
Nope.
Oh, okay, you're just going to leave it with that? Yeah. All right.
Like, that's one thing about baseball that, like.
All the hot dogs.
That, like, I appreciate. I mean, I played baseball as a kid for years and years, so I get it. But, like, you can be a fat guy and play baseball still. Like, as long as you can hit the ball.
Yeah, Babe Ruth, dude.
Yeah, you can still play. Like,
he rocked it.
As long as you can throw the ball. Yo, pitchers be fat as fuck, yo. They be like real fat chat members. But as long as they can fucking pitch the ball, throw the ball hard, like they're still
Kenny
in.
Kenny Powers.
Yeah, like for real.
That's a sweet spot. You got a strong arm and you don't have to run.
Yo, for real. It's like.
The more you sit, the stronger your arms get. You know what I'm saying, boys? You know what I'm talking about, Heimdall.
Oh, a bunch of strong pitchers here.
Somebody hold my sword. I've got to get a box of tissues. Terrible. You just have an impression. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Behold my stuff.
But,
is that what the Rainbow Bridge is made of?
That's how it opens it.
Bifrost!
Who wants some of my Bifrost? All right. So.
Oh, man.
He determines these kids got something going on. He's not sure if they're lucky or hallucinating or whatever, but he's like, I got to get them back into the stadium because we actually won a game.
Because baseball, mad superstitious, like for real. Oh, yeah. Might be lucky, they'll do it.
Yeah. So he gives some bullshit about bringing these photos to this kid because he forgot his copy or whatever. Shows up at the kid's house. He's like, listen, you got to come to the next game because I need you there.
How do you find him again? How do you find the kid?
Well.
Did he leave his address on for the photos? Is that what it was?
I mean.
Sure.
Sure.
He definitely didn't, like, drive around to the local schools and follow him home. Or
they can't live that far, right?
No, like, you're able to see the stadium from where they live.
Yeah, right, yeah. Like, so, I mean, probably just said, you know, hey, do you know where the orphans live? And they were like, that trailer up on the blocks over there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking for some of the saddest kids you know in the area. I'm like, oh, over there.
Oh, the saddest kids.
The ones who watch your team lose every week? Yeah. Those kids? Yeah.
Well, that's all of them, but I thought the saddest ones are over that way.
No, I remember those Muppet babies, man. They're happy about everything.
These weren't Muppet babies.
No, but they also lived in the area.
Yeah.
In a different trailer.
So he finds Roger's house, and he's like, so yo, like, you want to come to the game tomorrow? Maybe you see some more of them angels. You let me know if you see them.
Yeah.
I will. PJ can go.
I mean, sure. He could come too.
Yeah, whatever, dude. You know.
I do like that. Again, Nanny's like, well, I'm not going to that shit. But sure, you can go unsupervised. You're not my children anyway.
Well, they're not, though.
They're not. But
like, whatever.
It's not like you're in my care. Go. get abducted or something.
What happens? What do they get abducted? Oh, their parents came back and gone.
I mean, in all fairness, it's like the manager of the Angels is watching them. Like, they'll be okay.
Yeah, sure.
Did she see credentials? I don't know.
Because we know.
I didn't.
We know that any celebrity is totally safe to watch your children. We've learned that.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a thing
that you said
from the ref.
So they're at this another baseball game.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lloyd shows up again.
In his soda.
There's a whole stupid subplot where Night at the Roxbury is watching these kids and he's just like a dumb comedic foil. It's stupid. Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
He doesn't matter.
He does not matter at all. But anyway, Christopher Lloyd shows up and he's like, let me tell you the rules because you've already broken all of them. So let me lay this down for you.
Look, that's not my fault that you decided to not tell the kids.
This is true. This is very true.
The rules the first
time. Now you've been fucking around for 48 hours. Let me tell you, don't feed us after midnight.
Right.
Don't get us wet.
Yep.
I guess don't expose us to the dark, maybe, to them. I don't know. Not sure how that one works.
Nah, well, in any case, he's like, don't tell anybody about us.
Other than all the people you've already told.
Because we don't like people to know that we're doing stuff.
We don't want people knowing that we're cheating.
Well, I mean, yes.
But also, if any... Just a note to all our listeners out there. If an adult or someone older than you comes along and says, here are the rules, and don't tell anyone about us, because we don't want people to know we're doing stuff.
You see that dude in the
wife
what
beater?
Is it called? No, the what? Where all the players sit.
Dugout.
That's right. Thank you. See the dude over in the dugout there? He is about to get a sick Ghostbusters beach from an angel.
He sure is.
It legit looks like that.
It does.
This lady angel just shows up floating around him, and just, the camera just pans away. Like
that's more of an anime, not really a. A kid's movie. It's an anime.
Well, it's what's happening.
He gets George, Danny Glover. Let me start again. Roger gets Danny Glover to come over and he's like, listen, you gotta put this guy on because he's getting a shoulder massage from this angel, which we see there's an angel behind him actually rubbing his shoulders. But, like, he keeps cutting back and forth between the two of them. And, like, when it's showing him getting the massage, we don't see the angel most of the time. And it does kind of look like something funky's going on.
He's being relieved.
It's Adrian Brody, by the way.
It is Adrian Brody.
He's being taken to Skull Island, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I totally didn't expect that, like, you know, no, really, he's getting his shoulders rubbed by an angel. And now she's on his chest. And working here, okay, never mind. That seems personal.
Somebody say chili dog.
So Adrian Brody's character is the worst hitter on the team. And he's like, put him in. He's like, but my best hitter is up right now. Why am I going to do that? He's like, yo, it's Angel. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah.
So on his way over to when the manager walks away, he's like, well, I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? We lose? I mean, we do that anyway.
It's like, really? What are you going to do? Are you gonna listen to what your team is saying and doing, or are you gonna listen to a 10-year-old? Come on, man!
Who claims they're angels.
10-year-old.
So he's like, "Fuck it, do it live. Yeah, put him in."
Yeah, whatever.
So sure enough, he goes in there.
Little Big League. That was the movie. The kid was
Little Big League. Yeah. So, wow. Okay.
I don't know why that just popped in my head now.
And I'm pretty sure at this point, like,
better late than never.
We do like a montage at this, like, around here.
No, there's one more.
Sure.
Okay,
there's one more.
Either way, these baseball games start like going by Quidditch rules because every time it shows the Angels catch a ball, it's like Golden Snitch. They win 150 points. Game's over. They win.
But also, like, they're doing some real, like, outlandish shit. Like, I believe it's here where they throw the baseball and it, like, stops midair and starts going, like,
it's,
you know, a mile an hour.
What are you doing?
At most. Like, yeah.
Clearly, something funky is happening.
Yeah.
The ball, when it hits the ball, it bounces off of every player in the infield. Then it goes over their hats and then between their legs and, like...
Let's just call it what it is. Angels is just a metaphor for steroids. That's all it is. Oh, yeah. These angels showed up, and now they're helping our team win.
That one player's got angel dust.
It's totally legit.
I mean, in the 90s would have been the other team from the area, the A's, where they had Canseco and all the roids.
Either way. Anyway, of course, yeah, they start getting on this winning streak, so they keep bringing the kids back. They're trying to make them happy. They buy them a bunch of food, whatever.
You're coming to every game.
Yeah, he tells them we need some kind of signals.
What the hell is school?
Yeah.
It's summertime.
Sure,
all right, I'll give you that.
They put baseball in the summertime.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
cool. And it was the All-Star break, so it's all right.
Sure.
Anyway, but yeah, so now they're the mascots.
Yeah.
And it's showing that Angels only help some of the games. They actually win some games on their own. Like, they really are. Yeah,
but the thing is, when the Angels are helping out, it's ridiculous. Straight up cheating.
Yeah.
It's not like the Angel helped to just give them confidence to do what they need to do. No, the Angels are just stepping in and solving this for people.
Yeah.
And that is not okay.
Which, like, if you're kind of possessing the guy or whatever's going on so he hits better, I might let that slide. But then you're like, you're moving the post for what's out or not.
Right, yeah,
it's just flagrant cheating.
They're actively inhibiting the other team at this point. Yeah. It's like, not cool.
It is ridiculous.
So here's where we find out, like, Danny Glover comes to pick these kids up in his fancy car. And this little kid, was it DJ?
JP.
All right.
Or JP.
All right. It doesn't camp matter. So he's
PB&J.
Like.
PB&J.
Yeah. PB&J. There you go. That's cute. So he's like, I can't get in the car because I was like slapped by a transformer once or something.
He was raised in a glove box.
He was apparently homeless, living in a car down by the river or something. And it's very sad. I don't know why I'm chuckling.
You're a terrible person.
You are right, Tony.
So the kid won't get in the car, so they have to get a bus.
But he will get into vans.
Yeah, he'll get into vans. As long as there are free puppies.
Or candy.
He does love nachos.
He does love some
nachos. He never ate them. The guy always sat on them.
That's why I loved him. He would eat them right off that guy's butt.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Is that not the direction we were going with?
It was not the direction at all. Not even close.
Not quite. Anyway, where the hell are we? Oh, yeah. So we start using a van now.
Ranch Wilder.
Oh, there is a subplot of the announcer and the manager guy, Glover's character, have beef with each other.
Yeah, they both used to be ball players, but I guess Ranch Wilder took out his leg in some kind of maneuver or whatever.
His name is Ranch Wilder. First of all, what, like, if you think of ranch, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Dressing.
Okay. And what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of ranch dressing? You think of wild, like,
wings.
Yep, that's true. But ranch.
Angels have wings.
Angels have wings, it's true. So he's the ranch. He is the soothing ranch to the hot wings of the angels. It's so stupid. Anyway,
he's here to apply his creamy dressing to the ranch. Saviors of this team.
Yeah, he's gonna bifrost all over him. Anyway,
what the fuck are you trying to do?
I don't know. I had a thing.
He had one beer. Come on.
No, it's not even that. So I got thrown off track because one of the notes that I took later in the movie, Brian kind of brought up now. So I have to ditch it and think of something else.
My bad.
Okay. What?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter now.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Good, because I'm not sorry.
Yeah, why?
I knew you weren't. Like, there was never a second I thought you were sorry.
So, Ranch Wilder's a dick. He's there for whatever. Tony Danza's there, too. He's got a bad shoulder, but they're putting him in the game because there's an angel hanging above him.
Yeah, so Tony Danza's character is like...
That's what come to find out. The angel's not going away.
The old guy on the team. who, like, is basically just waiting for his contract to be up to be gone, because, like, he's hurt. He's been hurt forever. Like, his career was great, now it sucks. And so when the kid tells Glover, like, yo, put in Tony Danza, he's like, but he's on the injured list. He can't even fucking play. He's like, yo, Angel's got him. Angel's got him.
Yeah. Do you not see this weird Flappy Bird thing I'm doing over here? That's his signal, by the way. When he sees an angel, he's supposed to tell Danny Glover.
He does the wrestling thing from Coco Beware. That's what that was his move.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the man chickens.
No, Coco Beware. He would flap his arms like, all right,
clap,
fine.
Stomp, clap, clap, stomp.
Oh man, coming with the eagle.
Eagle.
Oh, man.
Okay. Where are we? What's happening?
We are at two Always Sunny references in one episode.
Yeah. All right. Tony Danza and Christopher Lloyd were both in Taxi with
DeVito.
There we go.
And Mary Lou Henner. I love me some Mary Lou Henner.
Connected all together. Anyway.
No,
so he pitches a really good game. I think
wasn't she on Evening Shade too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Funny thing, she remembers everything.
Does she?
Yeah. She's like, she has this weird thing where she legit remembers everything.
Oh,
that's never happened to her.
Oh.
So you shouldn't have sent her those emails.
I've got some letters to send apologies for. Anyway, so what?
He puts in Danza.
Yeah.
And at first it looks crazy. But sure enough, Angels help him out, so he starts pitching real well.
Yeah. Andy Richter, Angel, I believe he said.
These Angels are dumb.
Who might not have been a man.
I gotta say, the Angels were really diverse.
It was men,
women, all shapes and sizes, all races. So
that's
pretty,
true.
Pretty diverse set of Angels.
Everybody dies, Brian.
Terrible effects.
Yes. Yeah, the effects were lacking.
It literally looks like they were going to turn into a Hallmark Christmas tree for like a mid-commercial break.
That is accurate. That is actually accurate.
Well, let's face it. This is like the precursor to what will be all the Hallmark Channel made-for-TV movies to come.
All right, are we at the court appearance
We
yet?
Are now. No, so... Okay. Yeah, basically the dad shows up. And
so here it is. We've gone. They're one game away from winning the pennant.
They have won almost every game.
Yeah, since then, and like, so now the kid is like, "Yo, my dad's gonna come get me now."
Yep.
Because like he said, when they win the pennant,
he's win the pennant.
Like, so this one game here could do it for him.
That's what he said before he sped off and called me Robin.
And then, but the court, they're like, "You know what? Your court date's today." He's like, "Oh." But, like, the game is important for me.
Yeah,
like,
no, we don't care.
Like, no, court date.
This is the judicial system. We seek to mess up your day.
Right. Yes. We're going to bring you in at the most inopportune time, tell you the worst news there. You could possibly get, and then send you home after 5 minutes.
Yeah. We're going to call you in at 7:30 in the morning. You are not going to be seen until 4:30 in the afternoon.
Which legit is what happens.
Legit is what happens.
And like I was saying, like it's about, what, maybe 2-3 minutes tops that he's in that courtroom?
Oh, yeah.
Like not even.
It's just in and out. Like, hey, you know you're a shitty father and you're giving up your kid for good? And like, yep, all right, here, sign on the line. See you later.
Like, that was the whole thing. Legit, the kid walks in and he goes, Dad. Like, they're about to win. He goes, sorry, kid, deuces.
They're about to win, but you're not. See you later.
Listen, I totally love you, but I sold you for a double or a duck or a roast beef sandwich combo meal at Arby's, which will also coincidentally be my last meal.
So, yeah, you want to get into this?
What?
Last
Arby's?
Meal?
I've never actually had Arby's before.
How have you never had Arby's
before? There has not been one near me for me to have Arby's before. Like,
there have been Arby's. Well, okay, there have been Arby's near me.
The only one I knew of was in West Haven years ago.
So
on the line.
There were like two on the post road here.
All right.
Like one where Sonic is now.
Have you ever been like low on funds and you've gone to Stop and Shop and got like, you know, the past the date rolls or deli meats?
Uh-huh.
Then you've been to Arby's. That's it.
Oh.
Find some, horseradish sauce
that's
and
not
put
true.
It on there.
Because
you're thinking Arby's.
No, because Arby's, unlike those, is always weirdly greasy for some reason.
Right.
Even though you're like, It's just a roll with roast beef on it. Why is it greasy?
And this butter? This half is just the roll. I didn't even put the roast beef on it yet. Why is it that greasy?
But, I mean, they had curly fries.
What?
Yeah.
They did.
Like, I like curly fries.
They were good curly fries. Like, if you could do anything there, you go get the curly fries. I mean, they also had other foods there, like chicken sandwiches and the like.
Were the burgers or just deli meats?
No, they had burgers, too. It was, like, full-on, like...
I don't think they did burgers.
Maybe not, but they had, like... They legit had, like, fried chicken sandwiches, though. Like,
yeah, they might have...
Because that's what I always would get there. I would never... I would never get freaking... But, like, I would never go to a restaurant and buy something that I can make myself. Like...
I would and do often, because I fuck cleaning, so...
All right, so let me... All right, let me rephrase. I would never go to a restaurant and buy something... that I could make myself without effort.
Okay.
If it causes effort, yes, I'm going to do it because I'm lazy and I don't care.
Anything I can make without turning the stove on, I don't
care about my health or appearance. I do care about how warm it is in here. Turning the stove on is a problem during certain times of the year. I can't believe I've never been to Arby's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It happens.
How about...
Probably not.
You've been to Duchess?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's disappointing.
How about Angels in Outfield?
Have you been to Angels in the
Outfield? It's almost over now.
Yeah. It's almost
so,
over.
So the dad eats Arby's and he dies. I think that was the point we're getting at here.
So the kid misses the game and the Angels lose.
Correct.
And his dad is like, deuces.
Yep.
And he's like, there's no God. And yeah. I'm like, kid, you literally have spent the last 2 months.
Kid just goes.
Seeing the Angels.
From freaking... Kevin Sorbo to Ricky Gervais matter of an hour.
you legit have had proof in your face for 2 months that they exist.
I don't believe in a higher power, even though a face showed up in my Coca-Cola and started telling me that the Angels were going to win the pennant. Like, what the hell?
It's like, you were just hanging out with Louis Gossett Jr. and all of a sudden, like, now...
Danny Glover.
No, I mean, like, he's...
Oh, and okay. All those, like, okay, sorry. Super... I'm trying to say that we all look alike. Sorry.
Nah, I mean, everybody already knows that.
Wow.
Why every episode you try and make me out to be so, way more racist than I actually am?
Team's coach, Charles Barkley.
I have... I've embraced my level of racism. I thought you had too.
No! It's never okay!
But it is funny sometimes.
It's okay when it's funny.
You are sending us mixed message here, Brian.
I know.
Listen, everyone here at this table has known each other for a long time.
Almost 20 years.
Almost 2 decades.
Well, you two forever, like, literally his entire life.
Yes, I've known him certainly a long time.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But yeah, like, one little sub note for this whole thing is Roger convinces Knox, the manager, to like stop swearing and like be a better person.
Yep.
So the Angels will be more inclined to come help them out. And it works. Like,
it
sure
does.
He legit like stops like telling lies. And lying.
Yeah, the whole time we're kind of glazing over because it's not a big thing, but it kind of is, which is Knox is becoming a better person. He's starting to like the kids. He's starting to be nicer around them and others. He's just all around becoming a better person.
At one point, like, he asks the kids, like, what they want to do, and they're like, well, play baseball with the kids in the neighborhood. He's like, all right, let's fucking do it. And, like, they play games with the kids in the neighborhood, and it's a sweet moment. Like,
he even helps that one weird kid.
Little weird
helps
kid.
Helps get rid of him.
Forrest Gump's his way home. Like, like, run home.
Now I'm going to use a word here that you may find divisive.
Just don't.
I wasn't going to, but just the statement I felt was enough. Don't make me explain the joke. All right, so all this happens.
That kid is rated R. Is that what you're saying?
This kid who was hanging out with Angels is now just like, cities, no gods. It is all meaningless.
Even though you managed to make Knox not swear, not lie, he didn't even beat up on JP when he like falsely identified as a Jerry Curl as an angel. Like, yeah, that's a long way
that
from
did happen. That legit happened in the movie, and it was kind of amazing. The sun hit it just right. It was glistening and the light and stuff. It's like, it was glorious. Wish I had hair.
You got to believe, bro. It could happen.
Make way!
There it is.
So while this is going on, Cranch Wildfeather is interviewing JP, and he's like, hey, little kid, tell me your secrets.
Like, legit.
Why is it now in my head he's Foghorn Leghorn?
Because he kind of is.
Yeah, so he goes to JP.
Hey, little boy, I see. What's all this angel talk around
here? Tell me why. What's the secret to your success?
And he's like, oh, my friend sees angels, and, you know, the angels are helping the team win, and all this other stuff. And so it gets printed in the paper.
So I said, they've been cheating?
Yeah, fake news.
Nah. Wasn't fake news yet, so they all believed it.
Yeah, it rarely is.
It's back when a reputable news source could tell you before a reputable news source could tell you something and you wouldn't believe it. And you'd say it was fake news. What? This was back when a 4-year-old could tell you they see angels and you'd print it in the newspaper.
Now, so all of a sudden the owner of the team is calling Danny Glover in, Knox. He's calling him into his office and he's like, well, I know I'm just a good old boy, probably from Texas. But for some reason, all this angel talk is just terrible, and you're fired.
Like, for real?
Yeah. Like, dude, he just won, like, the entire season. What do you care if some child also said there's angels going on?
Also, I think he just won the entire team, because if he literally just got fired for his religious beliefs, that's a lawsuit, my friend.
Wow. But beyond that, Like Brian said earlier, baseball being as superstitious as it is, everybody thinks this stuff. Like, they're all about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I can't wear my hat sideways to, you know, on Tuesdays.
Rally caps, get your lucky underwear.
Yeah, like, I've been wearing the same jockstrap for 3 games straight because, you know, I don't wash
also-
it.
This is also one of those ones where, like, you could totally get out of this by telling the truth. Because, like, they kind of have him do that because they say he can't lie. Well, yeah, but he goes a little too far. Like, all you need to say is, oh, yeah, this kid sees angels and he believes they're helping the team. I don't know what's going on, but every time he's there, we seem to win. Yeah.
Right.
Done. You don't need to go into it. You don't need to say your personal beliefs or anything.
The same crap you looked at. Like, look at Matthew McConaughey over here. First of all, it's a miracle he's wearing a shirt. Second of all, it's a miracle that he's, like, floating, you know, 45-degree angle, just catching this dumb ball.
This fat guy ran faster than we've ever seen in his life because he's an angel slapping him on the ass. I don't know how that worked, but it did, all right?
There wasn't even food at the other end. Like, he just ran.
Maybe he is Sonic the Hedgehog. He runs fast, eats chili dogs.
The Fudge Hog.
We've already explained. You got your own Sonic OC? I didn't know.
He gets fired for winning. And
he's on the verge of getting fired.
He's told he has to publicly step down.
Yeah, this suddenly turns into God's Not Dead, and he needs to denounce his faith in front of, like, the whole community or whatever if he wants to keep his job. So they have this press conference, and, you know, he's saying, like, hey, listen, everybody, I don't know what's going on here, but maybe you believe in angels, maybe you don't, but I kind of do. And we're winning, so what's your problem?
Yeah. And so Nanny gets up and she's like, I don't know what's going on, but my little kid says something, so there you go. Believe in miracles.
She's like every dude gets touched down and kneels, thanks God. Every pitcher does a cross on before he throws the ball or whatever. No one says shit.
Right.
But my little kid over here says he prayed and some angels helped him out.
11-year-old.
And y'all are having a fucking fit. Fuck you.
Now,
fuck your organization.
Granted, she cleans it up a little bit.
Just a tad. But also, it's around this point, like, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I believe in angels, But I did see a hat floating in midair. I saw that outpost move. I saw this dude fly. This dude went sliding faster than I've ever... Like, there's unexplained shit going on here. Like, someone could notice this.
But more so, the entire team stands up and they're like, if you fire him, we're all leaving.
Yeah, I'm Spartacus, yada yada.
So now we're at the championship game. I'm waiting for somebody to correct me or affirm me. No. I don't know nothing about
so
baseball.
So I'm pretty sure that was the last game of their season. And so now they're in the game for the actual pennant. So let's see who takes first place in their division.
Yeah.
And so that's what this game is for.
Right. Correct. Of course it's against the White Sox because they're evil.
The Washington Generals of baseball.
Yes. So yeah, everybody's gathered for the big game, but what do you know? Christopher Lloyd's like, hey, listen, we're probably not going to show off show up.
No, he said we're not showing up.
Yeah.
He said championship games are on you.
Yeah, remember?
It's like, we'll get you to the championship, but
you ain't learned shit by now.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna have her.
After we've been your crutch, we're just gonna make you walk on your own all this time.
No.
They didn't teach them shit. They just did it for them.
No, because some of those games they won themselves. Because literally, sometimes all you need is some positive things happen in your life before you start getting confidence back. And with confidence comes swagger, and with swagger comes winning. So they had it in them the whole time. They just need a little nudge to get it out. That's what Angels were doing. It was giving a little nudge.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Some of it was straight up cheating.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like someone was like, you know, like blowing the ball a little faster. No, they were legit bending metal, legit stopping the ball in midair.
They possessed one ball to crawl up some guy's back and onto the front of his hat.
But the point was like, you know, get a little win, get a little pep in your step, and like good things can happen as long as you believe. That's what the point they're trying to make. You gotta believe, Tony. You gotta believe.
Yeah, sure. But at that point, he's also like, you know, think positively and good things will happen. By the way, Tony Danza's dying.
Yo, he legit says he has 6 months to live.
Christopher Lloyd just...
All right, now.
He just points at Tony Danza, points his watch, and just starts tapping it with his crazy eyes.
Like, it was pointless. There was no need for him to say that at all.
No.
He says, what are you doing here? Come to see a friend. And it's left. Nope. Come to see Clark because he's dying in 6 months.
Yeah.
But don't worry. He's moving up to be with us. Don't worry. He'll be all right.
I'm checking out the new fish, so I'll be prepared for when he shows up, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah.
He's... Ooh. In the sequel, is Tony Danza an angel in the sequel?
I don't remember that well.
You saw it?
I don't know if I've ever seen it, to be honest. I know it's about football.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Was it Angels in the End Zone?
Yes.
Oh.
Angels in the Infield was the third one.
So the Danza would be in that one.
Yeah.
In theory, I don't think anyone of note was in that last one. But, or maybe one of... Oh, I think Matthew Lawrence was in the second.
And then there was the weird...
Not even Joey.
Then not even Joey.
The weird gay porno spinoff, Angels in the Locker Room.
Oh. Angels in the End Zone was already weird gay
spin. I was trying to keep it innocuous.
It'd be Angels in the backfield.
Angels in the fullback. Angels in the butthole.
Anyway. Anyway.
Angels raping each other.
Anyway,
all right.
Anyway,
Doritos.
I don't have any.
Oh, God. So, whatever. It's enough for... For some reason, Knox is an idiot and just leaves Tony Danza in the game the whole time, but he's getting tired.
Because he knows.
Legit. Who leaves... I mean, nowadays, they don't do this anymore, but like, you have an old-ass pitcher with a shitty-ass arm.
Yeah.
You leave him for 9 fucking innings? Like, what is wrong with you? Like,
well, the thing is... So
he's going to be dead soon anyway, whatever.
Danny Glover has that thing from The Frighteners. He can see the number on Tony Danza's head. So he knows what's up.
Is that how they get their jersey number? He had a 6.
Yeah.
He's got 6 months.
Exactly. That's right.
Ooh.
That's why Danny Glover's was 52. That's when he croaks out.
So anyway, yeah, but like he's just leaving him in. But Robin's like, all right, listen, I don't see anything, but I'm going to tell him I see an angel because he needs something.
Because I've not lied up to this point. Why not start now?
Yeah.
That was the manager's idea.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
But it's not emotional. Like, I was all choked up watching this stuff.
It was very nice.
That shit gets me. Like,
And I guess in theory, he didn't lie. He just started doing his little Flappy Bird dance.
Yeah.
In which case, everybody else.
But Knox lied.
Huh?
Knox lied.
Yeah, but he's awful. So he's an adult.
All
right. Adults. Oh, because what was still? He just needs to believe.
Yeah,
so,
he needs a little, like.
Need a little encouragement.
Right.
Sometimes you need a little encouragement.
Stop moping.
Get your confidence up.
Because it doesn't do anybody something. Any good. See so, all these like, ladies up in these stands? They don't find moping attractive. Let's go. Come on.
Wow.
Let's do it.
So, like.
Let's do it.
So. Roger does his, he goes by himself to do his little Flappy Bird thing, and then JP comes up, and then like all the dugout does it, and then the stands do it, big old wave for him, like everyone flapping their arms. It's mad emotional and touching and shit. And
everyone in the stadium.
He's like, you got this, you can do it. He's like, I can do it, boss. And then he pitches a hit.
yeah.
But he goes right into his glove. Yep. He dives for it. Right
yeah, he dives and catches it.
Catches it, and they win the game.
And dies right on the mound.
That would be amazing.
They just bury him under it.
But you know what I didn't notice? So Tony Dan's character coughs a lot during the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and I had, until the end, you're like, oh, yeah, that's because he smokes so much. Like,
yeah.
I had forgotten that was a plot point, and I knew immediately that's like, what it was.
It didn't catch for me, because everybody in this movie is smoking, at least at the beginning. It's like, everybody's got a cigarette in their mouth for everything.
Yes, but he's the only one that's smoking and coughing.
True.
Like, that's movie sign for I'm dying of lung cancer. Yeah. But anyway... So, you know, they win, everything's all fun and exciting, the kids go home, they find Nanny there saying, like, oh, hey, guess what, Robin, we got a call that someone from social services wants to pick you up, you're gonna go to a home, and, little kid's all like, oh.
JP's all sad, he's like, oh, where we go?
Yeah.
Runs away.
But that's when, Knox tells him, like, listen, I'm the guy, like, I'm gonna take you home.
I'm buying all you kids.
Yeah. I learned from Angelina Jolie. I'm just going to pick one of every color. Wow.
Come live in my palace.
Yeah. So, yeah, he adopts the kids. Everything's exciting. Maybe he starts dating Nanny. I don't know.
What?
Wow. Whatever. I'm trying to wrap it all up.
The point was, like the sub-story is, like, it doesn't have to be, like, an actual angel to make things better for you. Sometimes it's just someone who's going to show you some love.
Right.
And so Glover's like, he felt he didn't have that when he was a kid, so he's going to give it to these kids. And so...
And those kids, in turn, were that for him.
Yeah.
Helped him stop being a douche.
Well, that's kind of nonsense, because there is an actual angel, and it's Christopher Lloyd, and he's right outside the window, and PJ sees him for the first time. Which we assume means he's dying.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Lloyd sees the number on his forehead.
Yeah. He then launches himself into space, and they start playing baseball among the stars.
You're not gonna hit puberty, kid!
And that's Angels in the Outfield from 1994.
Well, it's like deja vu a little bit.
That's what it was like watching this movie. All
right,
so on...
That was the theme from Dragonheart, right?
Yeah.
Because it sounded familiar, but I thought it was from this movie. I knew it. Like, no,
yeah, no. If it wasn't, it was close enough.
They're both Randy Edelman, so it's very similar. Like, there are parts in this movie that's very similar sounding.
That's why I'm like, if this wasn't directly the same score, he used, like, table scraps from one to make the other.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 33%. Audience gave this a score of 49%.
Oh, I thought.
Wait, Dragonheart came out after.
Did it?
I can't remember. I felt like Dragonheart was like 98 or something.
Really?
I could be wrong.
That sounds wrong. But in the meantime, what is your thoughts and opinions on this one, Brian? And would you recommend it?
Like, honestly, I still enjoyed this movie. Like, it's a kid flick, but like it's hits me just the right emotional points where, like, I'd watch this. I would let me meet my niece and nephew watch this. And, like, you know, I loved sports as a kid, so, like, it hit me on that home front. And, like, it's I would watch this again. I would.
All right. Rob.
96, by the way, was Dragonheart. So still after this.
Yes.
He probably just wrote the songs at both the same time.
Well, that's what I said. One is the table scraps of the other. Yeah. Or maybe he wrote this and then improved upon it for Dragonheart. Or,
you know, I was taking notes during this movie. What? And one of those notes... Yeah. Well, one of those notes was, where is the breakup between the angels and Roger? I was fully expecting the scene where the angels are like, well, you told everybody about us, so we're not going to help you anymore. You know, the third act breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened. And I appreciate that. So while this movie is super cheesy and silly, I don't feel like it talked down to me at any point. Like, talked down to kids that would watch it. It was like just a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie for kids, but it's not a kiddie movie other than the stupid angel effects and the silly bird dance. But other than that, I mean, even for a baseball movie, it kind of held my attention enough. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend it, that if you're into this kind of thing, you'll enjoy it. If that's not your deal, then don't bother. But it was a totally harmless movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this was a harmless movie. It was also kind of a nothing movie. So I'm kind of in the middle there. Like, if you found any of this interesting and you haven't seen this, or, you know, if you really love this as a kid, you might want to give it a rewatch. But if you've never seen this before, you're not missing anything. You don't need to go here. It's just, it's fluff, which there's nothing wrong with that. If you want fluff, this is a good fluff. But there's really nothing here to make me be like, you've got to go out and see it. So I guess light recommend. It's something to throw on in the background or whatever, but, you know, don't bend over backwards trying to watch this movie, because it's not worth it. So anyway, I guess that's, for the majority, a vote for Angels in the Outfield. So I guess that's what we're recommending this week. But what do we have for the people next week, Brian?
D20, a fate. What? D20, a fate. Do it up. It's that time when we roll that die to see what we watch next. And I believe I rolled this movie, which is fitting because I actually enjoyed this movie.
What is that?
Rob's roll now.
Yeah, Rob's turn. So Rob's
roll, see what we watch next.
Okay, D20 of Fate. I have one request of you.
That's a bad start.
I'm not even going to pray for Jurassic Park. Just
because it can happen.
Jurassic World!
Or apparently you should pray.
Jurassic World! Just not.
Trash?
Yeah, just something.
Just not Roger's dad.
That's a 15.
I did get a very loud 15.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Rob's giggly.
Oh, my gosh. Make of this. This is terrible. Not good.
Was it a movie that we mentioned while watching this movie?
In theory.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I feel like people aren't going to believe me. It's 2015's Jurassic World.
You serious?
I'm serious. This is right here. This is right here.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So... Sorry I psyched y'all out on my last 20 when I rolled.
He prayed for it. Angels were like, you know what? It can happen.
You better continue to believe in angels then.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
All right.
I'm a Kevin Sorbo up in here. I got to
take a picture of this.
I got to take a picture of the screen.
Yeah, I can account for the, it's a 15. You heard me react to that.
I mean, hey.
Yeah. All right. That's so, awesome.
Good job, Rob.
Well, thanks. Done. There was a lot of interesting stuff on this one, too.
Hopefully, hopefully we've gotten through all the bullshit.
Nope. You know what? Every time we say that, though. Nope. Every time we say that.
Nope.
We get.
You want a lot of bullshit.
I guess True Lies is fine. Blade Trinity. Ugh. Remember that?
Ugh. Yeah, I'll just put it that, like, if we have, say, 50 movies left on there, still 25 of them are from 95 or later.
The Lost Boys was on here, too. That was 19.
Man. We've done 100 and, what were we, 120 now?
23, I think.
So, our first iteration of the list was 350-something movies long. We whittled it down a couple times, so...
We're now down to 191 movies.
Left. Okay.
Yeah. So you guys better start sending in those sponsorships, you know?
I believe that's called extortion. So, but I mean, speaking of extortion, what else you got for the people, Rob?
Well, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed it, please check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com, where you can find all of our old episodes, archive stuff, Bat Chat nonsense, a link to our store, and information on how you too can help support our podcast financially and spiritually.
But mainly financially.
Mainly and almost exclusively financially. Prayers are accepted. Money is better. We have a new episode every week, guys. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and, of course, liking us on Facebook. And you can follow us on Twitter. Both of those are 4AM Podcast. And, of course, if you want to email us, and we know you do, except about that thing we already talked about, I understand Spider-Man 2099. I'm only missing two issues. Listen, they didn't have them in this. I bought them when they came out. Like, this is, like, legit. This is the first comic I tried to buy from beginning to end. Don't you give me the roll.
Wrap it up. Don't you wrap it up, box, Tony?
If I had one, you would hear it so much on this podcast.
Anyway, the 4ampodcast at gmail.com. Yeah, I know you're having a great time. You realize there's going to be the song playing over this portion, right? Maybe I'll make it the Dragon Harp song. So there.
It's going to be a Tyrannosaurus roaring. That's what's going to be.
I can't because
save that for the next
I already washed these pants recently. Can't afford to do it again.
All right, so thank you everyone for joining us for Angels in the Outfield. We hope you all join us next week for Jurassic World.
And Joe has never seen it, to my knowledge.
Correct.
And his ass still better be here.
Let's hope. Pray for Joe, everyone. Pray that for he makes Mo it Joe. Here. Until then.
For Mo of Joe and Rob.
Deuces.
Good night, everybody.
We're Guardian Angel.
Tell your friends about us. Talk about us. Have conversations about our podcast.
Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you tell your friends about me?
You and Knox. I think you're full of shit.
Seriously, I need two issues, though.